Logic, you're listening to the Sweet Spot PGA DFS analysis. I'm your host, RotoWan Mike Alexander. Joining me, as always, Alex Remizowski. What's going on, my man?
Not too much. Feeling pretty good. Looking forward to this full field first event of the year.
Yeah, I've got an actual field of 140 some golfers. There's going to be a cut at 70. So back to business as usual, you know, not quite the field we're used to seeing. They're out in Hawaii, so not everybody's making that trip.
Yeah, all things considered, though, time of year, I'm okay with this. I felt like every time I was putting my stuff together for the week, it was limited field, take some risks, no cut, this and that, and we're finally back to something real.
Yep, the pretty much the official kickoff of the PGA season with a real tournament here. So yes. I'll do a quick little tournament course preview, save you the trouble. It's a short course in Hawaii, not a lot of elevation, very tight fairways, but not the most punishing rough. Basically, what I gather is there's not a lot of ways to crack this egg, you know. From my research, there's not course history isn't the most important thing. Certain golfer profile, you know, big hitters can do well here. The guys who play short tracks well are obviously good here. You don't need to be a name. There's plenty of guys who've come out of nowhere to win this. You know, you're actually probably more likely to win this if you're a guy that is off the radar. You know, so there's not that many angles into this one. So we just kind of have to dig in, do our best, and have solid process here. And this is kind of a fun tournament for me. You get to take some shots at a winner versus, you know, the top four or five guys are the only guys with real odds. On this course, anybody could win this. You concur?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is very, very accurate. I think it is a fun week to try to pick a few of your guys that you think either have been playing well or have shown you something or you just like, and like throw $10 on them, yep. Throw $20 on them, and you can there's a lot of long odds out there, and you're right. I feel like it's so rare that like your top two favorites, the guys that are like 6-1 and 9-1, actually come away with this thing. So with that said, I think pretty much what you said about the course is pretty true. Couple things I'm going to be focusing on. Par fours. There's 12 of them. There's only two par fives this week. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's short. It's just over 7,000 yards, and it's par 70. So it's largely par four dominant here. You got two par fives. This was one stat I pulled that I actually liked. The two par fives. Number 9 and 18, so you're finishing up each side with the par 5s. Number 18, last year we saw a playoff, Kizire and Hahn, and you saw it from the blimp view because of all the crazy stuff that was happening. It was ridiculous. I was streaming that tournament, and because at the very beginning of the season, I was like, is this normal for the Golf Channel, like in the beginning of the season? Yeah, but they were like on strike, and then there was the missile scare, so yep. Just a bizarre week, and then like Kizire won, and it was just crazy. But anyway, so there's two par fives, 506 and 551. They're not long par fives.
Not at all.
Number 9 has a 63% birdie rate and almost an 8% eagle rate, and then number 18 has a 52% birdie rate and a just over 3% eagle rate. So if you're going to bogey a par 5, you are pretty much losing between 2 to 3 strokes on the field, which I think is like really interesting in terms of you want people who can do well on par fives as well as par four. So par four scoring, par five scoring, and then just like anything. So the rough's not penalizing. It's not long. So it's like there's only so much you can really focus on outside of that, other than like getting birdies.
Yep. Yeah, and that's interesting. You know, the first 2 days there are guys that are going to be ending their round that need a either to make the cut or trying to catch somebody going in the next day. That's a nice little opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, I love, like, it's a fun, the 18th hole was very interesting. The green is surrounded by bunkers and a grandstand. People were hitting, like, just over the green, and you get caught up in the rough, and it was a fun playoff to watch, I remember. So, it's an interesting setup. Anyone can win. It's really anyone's course.
And the one thing I do think kind of matters this week is recent performance, or at least recent activity. You know, we saw last week that rust definitely mattered with some guys that didn't get off to a great start, hadn't played competitively, maybe hadn't been out on the range as much, you know, enjoying their time off, which they deserve. But for us to try and pick people who are going to do well, I think that's a fairly big factor here. And I did
Brooks Koepka.
Yeah. yeah, maybe the Brooks hangover narrative was a little more legit than we gave it credit for.
I think maybe.
But yeah, you know, and a lot of talk this week about guys that did well at the Century do well at the Sony. You know, you're in Hawaii, you're on the time zone, you've adjusted it better than guys who are showing up this week. Now, some guys have shown up that weren't at the Century, enjoy a little time in Hawaii with the family, that kind of thing. But I do think that is a fairly important thing, and we'll try and touch on some of that as we go through here. So without further ado, let's dive in at the top. We've got not that many stars, so it's weird to see a lot of these guys in this pricing. But looking at the 10s, there's two big names. You got Justin Thomas at the top at 11-4, Jordan Spieth at the bottom at 10-3. Wedged in there between Bryson DeChambeau, Gary Woodland, and Mark Leishman. Not guys we're used to seeing in the five-digit area. Who do you like out of this stud tier, Alex?
So these top three kind of have my brain in a bit of a pretzel, to be honest. like Justin Thomas, he doesn't compare to most people out here. He played very well last week. He quietly finished in third place. He was kind of not really a factor, but then like almost could have backdoored his way in there, but
yeah,
Xander really just like crushed Sunday, which was insane. Shot 62 on Sunday. But Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau and Gary Woodland, like, they all played fantastic last week, and as you just mentioned, there's a large number of winners of this tournament, 14 of the last 20 winners of the Sony Open this week played in the previous week, and there are three people who played and played very well. Yeah. So there's a lot to think about there. I think Justin Thomas is the clear-cut, like, cash, obvious, safe option there. Bryson is just as consistent as any individual golfer could possibly be at this moment in time. And then Gary Woodland's been crushing it, but it's just like, how many times can you come up just short before you get a little down on yourself? So I'd have to go with the first two there. Justin.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to pay for anybody up here, it's Justin Thomas for not much more money, I think is definitely some nice equity. DeChambeau, like you said, though, very solid. Woodland, I don't know if this is the course for him. I like him better somewhere he can utilize his distance.
Leishman, yeah, it seems that way, but he's finished top 10 three of the past 5 years.
and all of his stats look great right now, so it's not like he's just hitting the ball far and taking advantage of that. But I don't know. I feel like if I'm going to bet him to win, I'd rather it be somewhere he had that advantage working for him.
Yep, a 10-8 chalky Woodland.
Yeah.
Bait.
And then Leishman, you know, he's playing pretty well right now as well. So there's, you know, there's some reason to consider him. But the big name here that you need to talk about is Spieth. Pretty minimal pricing for where we, you know, he's usually one of the top two golfers in the beginning of the season. Obviously came off of a down year last year. His most recent event was a missed cut at the Mayakoba, so not exactly the biggest tournament out there. So a lot of cause for concern with Spieth. Where are you at on him?
I am at a... He scares me so much from pretty much everything that happened last year that at 10-3 I can pretty easily look past him.
Yeah.
If he were, like, say... 8,000, 9,000, like a Paul Casey, Kevin Kisner price here, I'd be thinking twice. But, you know, I mean, he has the abilities, obviously, to just destroy this whole field. But
it's a great course for him.
Yeah, it's too risky for me right now. I don't trust it.
Yeah, and like I would say he's a good GPP play, but his ownership's going to be huge. It's always huge. He's going to be in the 20s. So,
yeah, because everyone thinks the same thing.
Right. And then yeah, it's well, I'm never going to see him at this price if he starts playing well. So yeah, I'm kind of there with you. I may build one Spieth lineup just to give myself some assurance, but yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet. I want to see it before I'm willing to jump in.
Yeah, I agree.
I know we've got a pretty interesting tier in the nines here. You know, some old standbys as well as some new blood. At the top, Cam Champ, you know, I don't think this is a course for him. He's young. He hasn't played it competitively. It's, you know, not going to factor. His distance isn't going to factor in. So I'm kind of looking past him. Some guys down the bottom interest me. But what about you, Alex? Who are a couple of guys out of this tier you're eager to get in lineups?
So, I hate to just do this again and start at the top, but at least I'm sort of disagreeing with you. Cam Champ, I think we've seen that it's not just his distance. A lot of people are very focused on his distance, and probably for good reason, because he does hit the ball a mile. But he has had some very, very good finishes at much shorter courses that are more par four focused. And there's no saying that, like I've always said, distance helps you anywhere. If he's
right,
confidently smashing drivers and having like 45 yards in here rather than other people having like a full pitching wedge in, I can definitely make a big difference. He's going to be able to put his approach shots closer and give himself more opportunities for birdies. So I do like him. And looking at this, I pulled very simple stats right here in front of me, which are DK points. This is over a 24-round, the last 24 rounds of each player. DraftKings points, birdies gained, strokes gained, par four, and then good drives. He is fourth in the field overall for me there. The one kind of point that stands out there negatively is 28th in the field, strokes gained, par four. And for his finishes, you would think it might be a little higher than that. But in terms of DraftKings points and birdies gained, he's 5-2, which I love. So I'm definitely going to be using him. You could honestly start with him. If you're willing to fade Justin Thomas, Bryson DeChambeau, go ahead, start with him. Other than that, I would hop on down to my next favorite would be Paul Casey. And pretty much because he's Paul Casey and I like his price.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also statting out pretty well for me in terms
of course designed for him. He played last week.
Yes, exactly. Played last week. He gets the DraftKings points. He's going to be in there. He always is. He's not going to play himself out of here. I think he's a very safe option. Maybe more of a cash option, but we saw him win early in last season, and he could do that again. And then my third and final from this range, I'm a big fan of regression right now. Having spent way too much time thinking about NBA, I've honestly started, if someone has an awful night, I'm like, all right, I'm playing them the following night. Like, you just scored 2 points and did nothing else all night, and you're normally a little better than that, bam, you're in my lineup. Right. Like, no more thought necessary. And it's kind of amazing. And people are going to hate Patrick Reed when they look at this field this week because of what he did last week. And Patrick Reed, as we all know, I love him. And he has played well here historically. And I think he's just like a good kind of dart throw. I wouldn't even consider him that, but more of just a tournament play that you're going to get some decent ownership on.
Yeah, he's never a bad tournament play. Any interest in Hideki? I feel like getting him in this price range in this field is pretty amazing. You know, he didn't have the best season last year, but a lot of that I feel was injury related, if I remember correctly. You know, so hopefully coming in to a new season here, he's healthy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we saw him come into form kind of off the injury, like him and Brooks simultaneously last year, and if he can go ahead and continue what he was kind of starting last year, definitely a good option. And like you said, the price is very, very good for where we could end up seeing him in like 2 weeks from now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, last year's Hideki in this tournament and this pricing is at least 10-5, probably more.
Yeah, for sure.
And then on our way out of this tier, I'd be remiss to not mention someone I have a lot of hate for in my heart, Kevin Kisner. He spent a lot of last year kicking me while I was down, and I kept trying to you know, get it back. He has played well here. I don't know if I'm jumping in on Kevin Kisner yet, but the course suits his skill set. And hey, you know, everybody's getting a fresh start. Maybe it's time to consider Kevin Kisner again.
You know, I've always considered him at the par four, the courses that revolve around par fours and making putts, which is this.
Yep.
And his history here has shown that. And it's tough because Kevin Kisner is Kevin Kisner, and he can make you very happy for a little bit and then let you down, or he can just straight up let you down. Every once in a while, he'll come through for you. So
not a cash game play.
Not a cash game play. And I still don't forgive him and Gary Woodland for putting me first place in the Millie Maker last year through two rounds, only to end up making me like $50.
Yeah. Broke your heart.
Broke my heart.
All right, so let's leave Kisner behind us. Moving to the eights. First guy would definitely need to be mentioned at this course, Charles Howell. He is probably got the best history at this course. Tons of top tens in the last 10 years. He has one missed cut. Outside of that, you know, he's got a 32, a 32nd, a 26th, but like, you know, mostly top tens and top fives. So he's going to be popular at 8-9. You know, more than we're used to seeing him for, but everybody is this week. I don't mind Hal. What do you think of Hal this week?
Yeah, I think he's a great option, especially for cash lineups. I think people are going to be on him. He finally was able to pull off his win at the RSM, which we've seen so few of, which is still mind blowing considering his like 100 top tens or whatever it is in his career.
Yep.
He's always there. He's making cuts. He's making a run for it quietly and just stacking up the dollar bills every single week. And like, he's there and he has a fantastic price, and he doesn't strike me as someone who is going to be rusty. He played
last week. Didn't start out great, had a little rust, but then, you know, throughout the weekend, worked himself in a half decent position. So that rust is hopefully gone.
Yeah, so I mean, I like the play.
Then for me in the eighth, the next couple guys that merit mention, a couple more of the old standbys. You got Zach Johnson and Matt Kuchar down there at 8-6 and 8-5. Both definitely horses for this course. Yeah. What do you feel about those typical accurate golfers?
Yeah, those are the two I had highlighted here. I can honestly probably do without the rest of this group.
Yeah.
Both ZJ and Kuchar, I am 100% good with here. I probably would choose Kuchar of the two. He's coming up number one par four scoring for me over the last 24, his last 24 rounds. So that's fantastic. He had three straight very good finishes here, 2014 through 2016. Hasn't played here in a couple years, but he knows this course. He knows almost every course. Loves par fours, short course, love it.
Yeah, and he played last week. You know, didn't play well, but he's in Hawaii, so he's got that advantage at least.
Yeah, exactly. He's shaking off the rust there.
And then everybody else in this tier, when I look at them, I think, why don't I just go down into the sevens if I'm going to play any of these names?
I completely agree. Answer Stanley, Snedeker, even Knox, Kim. They're people I see in the mid-sevens normally. Answer had a very good fall run, but not paying that much for him. I think you can definitely drop down. One person you could think about, Adam Scott. He was randomly flashing up now and then last week or last year.
Yeah, I'm not ready to spend money on Adam Scott yet.
Yeah,
it's
like
too early
in the
golf season
upside.
To hate golf.
Yeah, no, I agree. The upside is there, but 100% with you there.
All right, so then we get into a really big tier in the sevens. I'll give you a couple of my favorites, and you can answer back with some of yours. down in the middle, there's a really nice pocket that I really like, starting with Jimmy Walker at 7-4. Andrew Putnam also at 7-4, and then Steve Stricker at 7-3. Walker's a back-to-back champion. This was a number of years ago, but he's won this event twice. He's also got probably just as many missed cuts as he does cuts made. But the last 2 years, you know, I'm willing to write a pass for that. He dealt with the Lyme's disease. Started to seem like he was at least getting it figured out last year towards the end there. So 7,400 for a guy who's won the tournament twice and isn't, you know, in his 60s, like, yeah, sign me up for that.
Yep, that's definitely, it's caught my eye. It's probably going to cut anyone's eye, but the back-to-back wins, and he's another guy that kind of came back into form last year, and he had that little pocket of the Lyme disease, the not playing, the playing and not playing well, and we definitely saw him turn it around quite a bit last year, and I mean, the price is kind of asking for him to be just complete chalk here. We haven't seen him in a little bit, but I mean, I think that's just about as safe as you're gonna get for 7,400.
Yeah, I'm pretty curious as to the ownership between he and Stricker, because you know, this is a perfect course for Steve Stricker. The distance allows him to compete, you know, with the younger guys. You know, if either of these guys start to, you know, poke above 20%, then it's maybe I'll have to revisit it and consider, you know, where do I want to be, but
it is pretty interesting, actually. Stricker is like the one guy who just randomly would finish top five. He was like ultra consistent for like a large portion of last year.
Yeah.
And it honestly, it like almost didn't matter what type of course, but I definitely agree that this is the type of course that you want him on. So I do like that. And we haven't seen anything from him recently or even here, really, which is in my book, maybe a plus
Lapo,
because
get down
people
here.
won't be
Lapo, come.
people are going to be looking more towards Jimmy Walker and maybe a few other names around him. So I do actually like that.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many names in the sevens. It's going to, you know, fracture the ownership fairly evenly.
Yeah.
Who are some guys down here you like?
I guess starting from the top, I'd be remiss to not mention both Ian Poulter and Chez Reavie. Chez Reavie is just my par four course guy. We all know that. He has been a little on and off lately, but I want to start off the season on the right foot and start with a nice little Chez Reavie made cut top 25 at a decent ownership. And that would be pretty perfect for me here. Because see, this is your filler guy. This is the guy you throw in there. You pair him with whoever you got up top, what's going to win the thing, and then you go home happy. And that's that.
Yeah, and he had a nice fall swing, right?
He did, yeah. Let me see if I've got the... He kind of came back into form at the end of last year. Kind of had a pocket there, I think, that wasn't too great. But T26 at the OHL, and then he did okay at the WGC event in China. So, yeah, I mean, I like it. And he's played here 4 years in a row, too.
Yeah, decent cash option for sure.
Yeah, so if I'm going to throw out two GPP options, my guys here would be Kevin Tway and Sungjae Im. Sungjae Im, another part, like, he's statting out very well for me here, and I love it.
Another rookie, right?
He's another rookie, yeah, coming hot off the web.com tour.
Yeah, a lot of talk about Sungjae this week.
Yeah, and he was up there with the Cam Champs of the world over the fall run, kind of some of the newer guys that people don't know quite as well, and he was definitely doing well. I think he did like just borderline, kind of just average enough for maybe people to stop thinking about him enough that you can probably get him at some pretty decent ownership here, especially with the guys he's surrounded by.
Right.
Par fours, though. Ninth in the field over 24 rounds. Birdies gained 12th. I'll take it. I'm definitely taking a shot on him.
I'll throw him in the Spieth lineup.
I like that. Yeah, throw Poulter in there, too. Keegan?
I don't know if I'm going Keegan this week.
Yeah.
All right, one other name down here in the sevens that I think is worth mentioning. Maybe more of a cash option, but Brian Harman. I feel like he's got the skill set to attack this golf course pretty well. Where are you at on him?
He had some very poor finishes last year.
Yeah,
I kind of like got off of him semi-long term, but he is another one of those guys that we know has like ultra upside. So I don't know if I'd consider him a cash play personally. But
yeah, I guess I'm just looking at his course history. He's only missed the cut once out of the last 7 years. So you know, you got a guy playing 4 days in the sevens. That's you know what you're looking for. You want to get six guys through.
Some people would call that a cash option.
Anybody else before we leave the sevens, Alex?
I think that about does it for me. Stuart Sink, cash. He's like in my Chez Reavie bucket.
Are you interested in Jerry Kelly coming out of the seniors tour?
I think I would choose, if we had to do our old guy of the week, I think I would choose Steve Stricker over him.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk on Jerry Kelly. Like, he does have great course history, but I don't know. It's just
like insane. I wonder what his ownership will be in like the dog leg.
Right.
I'd say 5.5%.
Yeah, like anybody down in this range, like if they're gonna have ownership, it's a tough play unless you have, you know, concrete feeling that they're gonna actually smash here, you know.
Hey, if you've got a bankroll and you're multi-entering some GPPs, I don't see the harm in it. You're
Right.
getting ownership on him, and look at his course history. It's like speaks for itself.
All right, then as far as a punt play goes, somebody down in the under 7K range, there's some names there, even though this is a field of pretty priced up players. Anybody on the tip of your tongue?
I'm going to say Johnson Wagner. I don't
Yeah.
have much to back that up other than numbers. And I believe he's got some course history here, right? Good course history? Or am I
Johnson.
wrong about that? I literally can't even find him.
Scrolling down.
6,600.
He's won here. He surrounded that
Oh,
with a
God.
ton of
Four
miscuts.
cuts. Oh, he's won. All right. Well, what I'm seeing in front of me. Over his past 24 rounds, what are his last 24 rounds? That's the question we need answered, because he is in the mix there with he hits fairways and he scores on par fours. And those, like I have said a few times, are kind of the things I'm looking at. But this is why he's a dart play. And what I'm looking at is the RSM, Sanderson Farms, Safeway, Wyndham, RBC Canadian Open, 54th, 35th, 25th, 33rd, 29th. He's not missing cuts. Hasn't missed a cut since early June.
Yeah.
So, hey, that's a dart if I've ever thrown a dart.
Yeah, if you can throw a dart in the sixes and make the cut, that's a win. A couple names for me. Keith Mitchell, I think, is too good of a player to be surrounded by the names he's surrounded by. Not that he's great, but I think he improved last year, so you know, he may be fairly popular given that he's a name in the sixes. And then a friend of the show, Dominic Bazzelli, if I saw the tweet correctly, I believe he's got to do well here to maintain his card.
Yeah, can you actually tell me what you were referring to? Because I was just thinking about that today, because I knew he was on an injury exemption through the fall run, and he, oh man, like he was really, really playing well 3 of 4 rounds each week, and it was brutal the way a couple of those weeks turned out for him, and like he's got the skill, and I can tell you, of course, this distance is like what he. It's his bread and butter.
Yeah, I just saw somebody tweet. They didn't give specifics. It was just his card is on the line. Was their understanding?
Yeah, and that is
okay.
Definitely
Yeah, it looks.
True.
It sounds like he's burning his last start of the medical exemption.
Which I actually thought was at the end of the fall run. So I was surprised to see his name.
Yeah, so that's you know, like you said, there were spots where he definitely did well.
Oh, hugely! That I was following him all fall, and he was leading. It might have been the RSM that he was in first through two rounds and fired like a 74 or something, and threw him back into like the 40s. And I think he made it up from there, but not quite enough. Like there was a dollar amount that he needed to keep the card, and this could be it. I mean, I do love the narratives like that, and I truly think it
hey,
can be ultra
it took
motivating.
Ian Poulter from, you know, almost being moving on to the senior tour to being in it for the Masters.
I know, and we've seen him in every big tournament since, and he's playing good. Like, it's crazy. It really, there were a couple instances last year, and I can't remember one of these instances, like, not prevailing. It's like when it's enough for people to talk about, it's enough for them to care that much about. I think these guys are on the PGA Tour for a reason. They can play under pressure.
Agreed. All right, so let's throw out a couple one and done names here. Each give, you know, maybe one or two guys that have either a good situation or good history. The two guys for me are pretty obvious ones. It's early in the season. I think you know, you want to kind of not burn anybody big this early. But Charles Howell, with his course history, definitely going to be a popular pick. And then Zach Johnson, if you're looking to get a little bit different, I think you know, he's a guy who could definitely do well on this course with his game. Definitely suits him. You know, whether he's going to be rusty or not, that's kind of the question you need to answer. What about you, Alex?
Number one, mentioning one and done, my number one option that came immediately to mind was also Charles Howell. Mm-hmm. I do like that. I think this is a great field for him. It's a great course for him. He's shown us that. He's safe. You're not getting rid of any name that's too big. Granted, he could win down the road, but I don't think anyone's going to be on him too heavily in many other events. And then more of a crazy one, since it is so early in the season, would be Sung Jae-im, because he's my guy this week.
Yeah, that's you could definitely take advantage of the early season here, and people maybe not knowing his name yet. We got a little bit of time, so I know people like us to build a lineup. We'll do the same thing again here. We'll start a lineup. I'll throw some questions your way, Alex, some decisions to be made. So I'm going to start with Justin Thomas. I usually don't like using the most expensive player, but he's just way better than anybody else here. He's going to give you the best bet to return points. So with that, you're going to have to skip all the way down into either the top of the eights or the nines. And we'll say this is a GPP lineup. So if you had to pick between Paul Casey and Charles Howell, which one would you go with here, Alex?
Oh, ooh, that's tough, but I'm thinking if we're talking tournament here, and we've already got JT, who we know will be relatively chalky, I would go with Paul Casey, assuming his ownership is going to be below that of Charles Howell.
I would expect it to be.
Yeah, so I'll go with Paul Casey there.
All right, then we're going to skip all the eights because most of those guys are cash options, in my opinion. And let's grab a couple guys in the sevens because you're going to have to be saving salary. So out of the older guys, Jimmy Walker and Steve Stricker, you like Stricker better?
Out of those two, I think I like Jimmy Walker. I feel like he's revived.
Okay. And then still got to stay at the bottom of the sevens here if we're looking to keep JT in the lineup. You've got Andrew Putnam, who I mentioned, who's just kind of a solid all-around golfer, or your Sung Jae-im play. I would take it that you're probably going to put Sung Jae-im in.
Yeah, I mean, that would be my choice. I am a big Andrew Putnam guy. I've been on him for quite some time now. But I think tournament-wise, I think let's get on Sung Jae-im early and watch him win this thing.
Yeah, and, you know, with that start, you're still averaging you're going to have to average 7,300 for your last two golfers. So you're not leaving the tier. You're either going down into the sixes to bump up a little bit to the top, or you're right there with Putnam and another guy like Sam Ryder or Jamie Lovemark, Brian Gay, one of those guys.
Joel Dahman's a guy I'm always on. I love Joel Dahman, Brian Gay. Jamie Lovemark, I wouldn't call this a course that fits his kind of style, but he's finished well twice here. And you could also drop from Paul Casey down, so it is possible to build a Justin Thomas lineup here, but it does complicate things a bit.
Yep. So that's just one approach, you know, for a Stars and Scrubs style. But that's what we got time for today, guys. Alex, thanks for being on. Everybody, you can get us in the Slack chat or on Twitter. I'm at @Roto_Juan. Alex is at Donald Remizowski. If you are not a subscriber to Lineup Logic yet, you can do so at patreon.com/lineuplogic. $10 a month, no commitment, gets you the tools for NBA, PGA, NFL, the works. Definitely an easy $10 to spend. But good luck in the first tournament. Your one and done's getting started, and enjoy some golf in the new year. So may the sports be with you.